I'm Almut and I'm at the climate camp here really to join the protests against the runway and against the way in which our lifestyles and the corporations that are, you know, supporting those lifestyles like flying are putting us very close to tipping point on climate change. But I'm also here on the camp being a member of an organization called Biofuel Watch to try and raise awareness of the real dangers of false solutions that are being suggested to allegedly reduce, mitigate against the worst impacts of climate change, such as biofuels, but which in actual fact have the potential to vastly accelerate global warming and vastly accelerate environmental destruction. One of the important things to remember is that climate change is not exclusively caused by fossil fuel burning. Certainly, we need to cut fossil fuel burning by a vast percentage if we want to have chance of global survival. But we also have to remember the absolutely vital role that our ecosystems, our forests, peatlands, wetlands, grasslands play in stabilizing and maintaining a habitable planet and a stable climate. You know, right throughout history of the Earth, it's ecosystems that have actually prevented runaway global warming on Earth and helped to restabilize the climate even in crisis situations. So what we're seeing at the moment is almost a double assault on the planet. On the one hand, we have massive fossil fuel burning. On the other hand, we have rampant destruction of ecosystems. Now, I'm mentioning biofuels because that's a lot of what my involvement is in as a false solution because it's based on the premise that we can turn over a considerable part of the planet's landmass to grow into monocultures, to grow fuel for our cars, and that will somehow then be all right because we won't be burning fossil fuel oil. If we go down that route that we are, you know, corporations and governments are going down at the moment, we could actually find ourselves facing quite calamitous rates of change. We are also seeing false solutions that are false because they are based on extreme injustice. It is the people in the, you know, people in the global south where most of the monoculture expansion is now happening, which are already paying the highest price in terms of suffering the first severe impact of climate disasters. They are already seeing extreme droughts, extreme flooding. What we're doing now is essentially taking over those people's lands, taking away their in many cases their land rights and their food sovereignty, so that on top of everything else they can grow food for our cars. Large numbers of organizations in Latin America, Asia, and also some in Africa are very much speaking out, saying do not solve your energy problems in the north by way of compounding the environmental and social disasters that are happening in our countries. That's an almost literal statement from an NGO declaration from Latin America. Going back briefly about, you know, how serious the fallacy of saying that, you know, ecosystem destruction doesn't matter so much is just briefly looking at, you know, what we're seeing in Brazil, where the Brazilian government are looking at a fivefold expansion of sugarcane monocultures. Most of them will come from what is the most, or at the moment, coming from areas that originally were very much forested in the Atlantic forest area, but also in the Cerrado area, which is the most biodiverse grasslands region on the planet, which is systematically being turned into monocultures. Secondly, the Brazilian government are now very strongly supporting soya biodiesel and wanting to massively increase that. And companies in Britain and around the biofuel companies around the world are, you know, looking to use soya for biodiesel. Now, the real danger with that, apart from just the general dangers of monoculture expansion, are that we've NASA scientists have actually published evidence that shows that rainforest destruction in the Amazon, the rate of destruction of the Amazon is directly linked to the world market price of soya. So what we are doing is we are bumping up the price of soya, knowing that, you know, scientists are telling that that is going to escalate deforestation. And just in terms of, you know, what that will mean for the climate, there was a conference this year which said that there was a 10 to 40% chance at the rate we are going of the Amazon deforestation tipping the Amazon into runaway fires and desertification, which could release, in a worst case scenario, all the carbon or most of the carbon. That's 120 billion tons of carbon, compared to the roughly 8 billion, just under 8 billion tons of carbon burned from fossil fuels every year. It's a vast amount. I mean, it's enough to change, to bump up global warming, and it would also change rainfall patterns right across the globe. So really our message to people would be is that we have to be extremely suspicious of solutions that are being touted, which in fact have a massive impact, like especially biofuels, but others as well, tree plantations in general, etc., that have a massive impact on the world's ecosystems, and that have a massive impact on local communities in the global south, on food sovereignty, on land rights, etc. And we have to remember that, you know, there can't be a solution to climate change unless it is a just solution based on climate justice, and unless it is a solution that is helping us to, you know, protect ecosystems. And that is why we are, as Biofuel Watch, amongst what are now over 150 organizations, calling for a moratorium on, we call them agrofuels rather than biofuels, agrofuels from large-scale monocultures in the EU, and on EU agrofuel targets.
Europe's last great wilderness, the only country, pretty much the only country in the whole of Western Europe, which managed to avoid the environmental disaster that was the Industrial Revolution, Iceland is under attack. The whole island is being destroyed. The aluminium industry is setting up factories all over the island. Aluminium is one of the most energy intensive metal of all metals to create. It needs vast amounts of energy and it needs really cheap energy. The Icelandic government has decided to destroy its country, to build huge dams, to mine every single pit or area of geothermal, geysers and mud pools and hot rivers, to just destroy all of these areas and draw energy from them just to power these aluminium factories. Iceland's a country with 300,000 people. It gets all of its energy from very small power stations, from geothermal energy, but really small amounts. What's happening now is that the corporations, Alcoa, American Aluminium, that is, Alcan, who's just been bought up by Rio Tinto Zinc, Brucell, so many corporations are setting up their aluminium factories in Iceland, and every single major glacial river in Iceland is under threat, is going to be dammed. Already they've built Europe's largest rock-filled dam in the eastern highlands of Iceland, which was the most beautiful place I've ever been to in my life. Just this river, this glacial river with towering mountains, black mountains and reindeer and fauna and geese, and it was just absolutely incredible. And it's gone for thousands of years, all for a dam which is going to last for about 50 years because it's going to fill up with silt, which is the minerals from the glacier. It's a short-term process to just destroy the island, to destroy all other economies as well, to destroy their fishing economy, where the fish around Iceland feed off the silt that comes from the glaciers. All the silt's going to be stopped at the dams, so there the fish population's just going to die out. So is the whales, which links into Iceland's second main tourism industry, which is tourism, which is whale watching and going around the beautiful, still wild land and climbing mountains and skiing down mountains which have hot pools all over them. This is just being destroyed. Iceland's going to be an industrial backwater of Europe. It's a tragedy. I'm part of a group called Saving Iceland, where our website is www. It's a tragedy. I'm involved in a group called savingiceland.org. That's our website. You can check us out. You can see what we're doing. We organise protest camps in the Icelandic highlands. We're trying to build a grassroots movement in Iceland which can defend the land from this corporate globalisation invasion. We, this year, brought together activists from other aluminium-affected regions like Brazil, South Africa, Trinidad, also India we're trying to bring. I'll tell you a little bit about my comrades out there. In South Africa, a country where 30% of the population don't have any electricity, there are plans to build a coal and nuclear-powered aluminium factory, which would take as much energy as half the whole of Cape Town. It's completely ludicrous and unfair and polluting, and the locals do not want it. They want sustainable energy. There's a group called Earth Life Africa who you should check out if you want to know about that. In Trinidad, the Trinidadian government is wants to give their gas reserves to Alcoa, American Aluminium, and to a Trinidadian aluminium corporation called Alutrin, to build factories in their most pristine, most forested, most beautiful part of the whole island. In Brazil, there are undescribable plans to dam up the rivers there, to dam up the Amazon, to create a heavy industry in a place where the locals are just people who live in forests and live in small towns and do not want this. In India, in southeastern India, in a place called Kashipur, the Indian government wants to build an aluminium factory there as well. There were demonstrations against this. It was originally a company called Norsk Hydro who wanted to build a factory there. There were demonstrations against this, and people got shot and killed by the police. So Norsk Hydro left, claiming some kind of corporate responsibility. A company called Alcan, who are invading Iceland and who have just been bought up by Rio Tinto, entered, and the project's still going ahead. Also, the national power company in Iceland, Landsvirkjun, is a sister corporation of the company of the electricity company in South Africa. And together, they're proposing to build a dam twice the size of the Three Gorges Dam of China. They want to build that in the Congo. The environmental consequences of this will just be absolutely disastrous. They say that it's going to be able to power the whole of Africa and even export energy to Europe. It's going to be an environmental disaster. What's there going to be to power? You will have displaced millions of people, destroyed land across the continent. The world's being destroyed, and there's no time to wait around for some politician to sort it out. Get involved in a grassroots group like Saving Iceland, set up your own one, contact us, find out about all these other groups. We don't have any time to waste. Thanks.
Hello, my name's Tom. I came to the climate camp this year to put on a workshop explaining about climate change denial. A few months ago, there was a program called The Great Global Warming Swindle, which put out a lot of fake science claiming that climate change isn't real. And it seems to have convinced a lot of people that the threat that we're under isn't actually there. I came here and gave a workshop explaining all the science in that program, exactly why it was inaccurate. And I also came here to make sure that people understand that climate skeptics, a lot of the people who put out false information claiming that the human race is not heating up the planet, they are funded by ExxonMobil, which is known as Esso in the UK. And they've also received funding from other fossil fuel industries such as coal corporations. But I want people to realise exactly how much misinformation is spread by the fossil fuel industry, and